Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Now ADT professionally installs Google Nest products so your home is safe and smart. Google Nest cams can tell the difference between a person, an animal, and a vehicle. Mm. Or with Nest Doorbell, even a package. I can't tell the difference between those things. That's incredible. And with Nest Aware as part of your monthly ADT service, you get 30 days of event video history. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 1-gig internet for $59.99 per month, plus a $150 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
Hi, my name is Jesus Nice, and I feel like a diversity hire about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Hi, my name is the Kid Mero, and I feel semi-aroused about being Conan O'Brien's friend. He's a tall man with a beautiful head of hair.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hello there and welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, joined by my ever present and trusty assistant, Sonam Obsession.
I don't like that.
Yeah, ever-present is a pretty low bar. Very low bar. You're just present often. And Matt Gourley, how are you, Matt?
Good. I'm ever-precious.
Okay. That was a mistake. That's something you're going to regret.
I know.
That was a word fart. We have a wonderful show today. We're going to have a very good show.
Yeah.
Very excited about our guest, but I do have a complaint to register,
Okay. Which
is we were recording yesterday here in the podcast space here at Earwolf Studios on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Right.
I walked in and the first thing I said when I walked into the studio was, oh my God, it really smells bad in here.
Okay.
And Sam, you came out, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You came out and you were like, oh, I don't smell anything. I'm like, I am not an odor sensitive person. My wife smells everything. I don't pick up on scents, but I was like, no, it is powerful. This smells like a New York subway stop.
Come
this sounds like a 14.
On.
It really did. It smelled bad. And I'm
it
saying
did
all this.
Not.
Hold on. And I'm saying all of this. And you're there the whole time, Sonam, and you're going, huh, really? I don't smell anything. And I'm like, yeah, it smells bad. It smells. And then I said, it smells like old urine in here.
You said it smells like old urine and cleaning chemicals.
Yes.
And Sona said, that's crazy.
And Sona said, that's crazy. And then there
Thanks,
was a pause.
Sam.
And Sona said, thank you, Sam. And then Sona said, oh, my dog Oki just urinated right next to where you're sitting about 20 minutes ago. So, yes, in the Earwolf studio. So you brought your dog, Oki, and Oki,
yes.
And you said, he never does that. My question is, the dog urinates. You see it happen. Your husband, who I love, Tack, immediately finds some cleaning chemicals and tries to get it up.
Yes.
Okay, out of the
yes.
rug. Then I go sit in that same spot, and I'm saying, what is that smell?
Yeah.
And you're going, I don't know. What do you smell? And I'm saying, I don't know. It really smells like urine and cleaning chemicals. And you said, that's crazy. Pause. Oh, my dog urinated there 15 minutes ago. So what were you doing? Were you trying to hope that I would move on to a different topic?
No, first of all, we're in Hollywood, which just does smell like urine in general.
We're indoors in Hollywood. It smells like urine outside. And ladies and gentlemen, it really does smell like urine. Just walk on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's true.
Each star has been urinated on over the years.
Yeah, that's how they christen them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a real star till someone has urinated on it.
Yeah.
The star themselves has to urinate on the star.
Oh, the star himself, Dorothy Dandridge, had to go herself and urinate on her star.
Look, I just...
So what were you doing? Were you lying to me?
No, I wasn't lying to you. I didn't know if that's what it was, because she...
I said it smells like urine. Dog, it smells like and urine, she, and your dog had just urinated there, and you're thinking maybe it's different urine than the urine I just saw shoot out of my dog's dick? Under the rug?
First of all, she's a girl, so...
Well, then why does she have a dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your dog does have a penis.
Also, Tack cleaned it right away. He, like, found a carpet cleaner and
Well, apparently he didn't, because, first of all, you know, urine famously just doesn't come out of a rug.
And she let you sit there. It was about 4 hours.
I was sitting there for a while, and it really stank up the whole room.
It didn't stink up the whole room. Oki does not normally pee on a carpet. She's very well trained.
Right.
She's been through a lot. She had an infection.
What do you mean, been through a lot?
She's been through a lot.
I didn't realize Oki was in the Korean War. What are you talking about? Oki's been through a lot.
She had a vet appointment yesterday because she had a little infection on her cheek. And so she was going through a lot. And so
it wasn't even visible to the eye.
I know, but we felt it and we knew it. She was going through a lot.
I tried to feel for it. I felt nothing.
Okay. You know what? No. Oki went through a lot. I think her peeing just a little bit on the rug was just a small little thing she was doing. And
okay.
It's fine. It doesn't smell like pee now.
The bigger point was you watched me sit there in a chair in the Earwolf lobby saying, I smell urine, I'm telling you, I smell urine. And you knew that your dog had urinated on that very spot just previously, and you played dumb.
I was embarrassed for her. I was embarrassed for myself.
Yeah.
And so I just, I was
And you
really,
did what?
What do you mean?
So you kind of just...
I was hoping you would just move on, but you literally talked about it for a really
yes!
long time.
Yes!
To the
Guilty.
Point where I just had to eventually be like, yeah, okay.
Guilty as charged. So, Sam, wouldn't you say that that's a guilty verdict on your part?
I would say it's a guilty verdict and not an apology.
Yeah.
What the hell,
Thank
Sam?
Thank you, Sam. Whoa, I love
Sam.
This Sam
Fuck
guy.
You, Sam.
Sam, by the way, doesn't...
Oh, God.
Oh, Sam, you can reply to that.
I have to say it. I got to defend you, Sona, because I never smelt it during that session.
Thank you.
From home.
You were home.
I'm just saying I never smelled anything.
I was here. You were not here in the Earwolf Studios, you
I'm
bastard.
Just saying, I didn't. I couldn't smell anything. There was
Sam,
no
I defend you. You're a great audio technician, engineer.
Oh, God.
Any other things you want me to throw in there? Podcaster extraordinaire, and I think a brilliant man. And finally, a voice of reason around here, because Matt always defends Sona, no matter if Sona threw a torch at the Hindenburg and it exploded, Matt
nice
would say,
toss.
I didn't see anything, or a nice toss. That was overhand, not underhand.
Yeah.
But
we're allies.
And Sona would go, right. I did throw a torch, but I don't think it's related.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Sam. Sam, just,
Sam,
you know what?
Did you have anything to do with the Hindenburg explosion, Sona? I don't think so, no. Oh, were you holding a torch? Yeah, but what's your point? Did you throw it at the Hindenburg as it docked in Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1936?
Okay, we get
what's
it.
Your
you
point?
Know about the Hindenburg. Okay. I know history. I know exactly where it was. Look at me slide that bit of information in to let you know that I know things.
I guess you showed me and my book reading. I should be ashamed of myself.
Our guest today is a wonderful actress who's just fresh off her star tour.
Give
and,
some details.
You know, I will say,
where the Hindenburg
Please,
was
Sona, don't you have a dog to squeeze urine out of?
What? Okay, that's
onto,
not how
onto
dogs pee
onto
work.
A rug. There's no good transition here. I'm just going to say it. My guests today are the hosts of the very popular Bodega Boys podcast, as well as the Showtime series Desus and Mero, which airs Sundays and Thursdays at 11 p.m. They also have a New York Times best-selling book, God Level Knowledge Darts, Life Lessons from the Bronx, which is available now. I'm thrilled to talk to these gentlemen today. Desus and Mero, welcome. First of all, congratulations on everything that's been happening to you for a while now. Now you've got a book, too, God Level
mm-hmm.
Knowledge Darts.
Yeah.
Reading this book, I love it. I'll also freely admit There are moments where I'm lost. I don't know what you're talking about because I'm not as knowledgeable, let's say, about the Bronx, maybe as you guys are. I'm this Boston asshole who grew up watching Red Sox games and was told that if I ever went to Yankee Stadium, I believe this, I was told in fifth grade, if I ever went to Yankee Stadium to see a Yankee game and I wore a Red Sox cap, I'd be murdered. They told me that. And in fifth grade, we believed it. They said, oh, yeah, they just murder Red Sox fans and the New York police, they don't prosecute. They just let it so that. And I believed, and it's true, right?
It used to be true. I mean, back when this was a good city, back before de Blasio ruined everything, you know? You used to be able to murder a Red Sox fan.
Well, good old Rudy was in charge, you know?
I'm talking about, I'm older than you guys. I'm talking about 70s. You're talking about 1977, Son of Sam is Loose. That era of Yankees, and I was told... I watched the movie The Warriors, and I thought it was a documentary. I saw gangs running around dressed as mimes and carrying baseball bats and killing people, and I thought, we thought that's really what New York City was.
At that time, people were just setting fires all over New York City and getting away with it, so you weren't that far off.
No, but the part that bothered me was there was a gang of mimes. I'm sorry, they had white paint on. They were mimes, and they carried baseball bats, and they were dressed as New York Yankees. And the fact that I believed that when I was in fifth grade, that just took things to a whole new level for me.
That gang went on to become UCB, so you know, like, it all worked out.
That's right. I recognize that. Amy Poehler was in there, and Matt Besser. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Most good improv started as gang culture, right?
It's true. It is true. Absolutely.
A lot of people don't know that.
Bronx and Brooklyn, East Side gangs and East Coast gangs turned into what we now know as improvisation and improvisation groups.
That's in the director's cut of West Side Story.
Exactly.
It's Criterion Collection.
That's the West Side Story I want to see. There was a whole, you have to understand, my era, I will be very open with you guys. I am a 58-year-old white woman, and and always in a state of transition. And I watched the Death Wish movies. And and they're really fun to watch. Then later on, I lived in New York lived in New York in the 80s. I lived in Williamsburg for a bit when it wasn't cool to live there. But then I lived in New York in the 90s and 2000s when New York just started to become super fancy. And I would still watch the Death Wish movies that I had watched as a kid. And there are these moments where Charles Bronson says things like, I tell you, it's murder out there. And someone will say, I don't think New York's so bad. And he'll say, you ever try and walk on 72nd in Amsterdam after 11 o'clock at night? And I think, I went there. I went there last night and...
I got a bubble tea.
I know. I got a bubble tea, and then I had an amazing latte. What are you talking about? So, I had a skewed vision of New York. So that's on me. Yeah, that's totally on me.
New York is still kind of wild, though. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't know this. At the Bronx Zoo, there's actually no cages or moats or anything. The animals just roam free. So you could get mauled by a tiger.
You know guys, you know what? Like, it's an see what they're doing. It makes it an interactive zoo. I think that's what they're going for. Yeah.
So it's free range.
Peacocks running around everywhere, you know? Maybe two or three pit bulls in there.
The best part is like you get people nowadays and they're like, wow, New York is going back to how it was in the 80s. You're like, it is not.
No,
we're not even,
it's not.
We're not even at 2016 levels. What are you talking about? Like, you could get gelato delivered to your door at 3 a.m. We're not exactly in a panic crisis over here.
You know, it's so funny. No. I have a friend, a good friend of mine. He's been my friend forever, Rodman, and he grew up in Hell's Kitchen. And he grew up in the New York of the 70s and that Times Square and that era
like
of New
mean
York.
Mean streets?
Yeah, exactly.
Harvey Keitel vibes?
And it's so funny. He moved to L.A., but I stayed in New York because I was doing the late night show. And I remembered once taking a walk at night. I think I was walking my dog and I'm in Central Park at night. And I'm talking to him. He said, well, where are you right now? And I said, I'm in Central Park. And he's like, "You're in Central Park." And he looked at his watch.
Get out of there.
He's like, "It's midnight. Get out of there. Get out." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And just then, you know those things that you see in Central Park sometimes where it's like, it's a circle with wheels. It's an iron. And like 12 people can get in it. And if they all
arrive
pedal,
at the same time. Yes.
And they all pedal. One of those went by and the people were like, "Whee!" And it's like, "What was that? Are you being attacked?" And I said, "No, no. It was 12 people wearing Lacoste shirts." Eating Froger went by and they offered me some free ice cream.
A Yorkie brushed up against my leg.
Oh my God, and that was did you immediately report it?
Yeah, immediately. I went on the Citizen app. I was like, wild Yorkie off the leash attacking.
Technically
people.
That's a hate crime, so you got to watch
exactly.
it.
You know, I had I will say one of the things that I enjoy so much about you guys is you have, I think, for my money, the most organic relationship with each other, comedic relationship. You're both really funny and you play off each other so well, but it's real. I was in situations back when I was a writer where I remembered producers would find two people who didn't know each other. And then they would try to have us figure out how to make them funny together.
That's the thing. Now that the old New York is returning, there's a guy who is I believe the term is underhoused, who has a knife attached to a rope that he just swings around in a circle on like 34th and 8th, and he has a buddy that he hangs out with. So there's a perfect example of what a
yeah, they're on can pick up they're on HBO Max. Max. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, damn! They got scooped already.
They've got a big HBO Max deal. Yeah.
That's a very weird episode of The Flight Attendant. I'll tell you what.
It's a good gimmick though. Whenever they need to go to rehearsal, he just swings the knife and hits someone, and then they go to an EMT is called and they go to commercial. It's a very ingenious.
That's
gotta
make the union dues so expensive. You got the nurse on set just currently having to put bandages on everyone because
I didn't think of that. I didn't think of the nurse. I've never had a nurse on set. And
no, we have one now because of COVID. We have to have a nurse and she has to yell at celebrities because celebrities don't want to wear masks and stuff and they don't realize they think she's just like a PA. And she's like, "I went to school for nursing. Respect me." And we're like, "You have to, Diddy, please put your mask on." You know,
Diddy.
Just Diddy. What kind of mask does Diddy have? He doesn't have just a regular mask, does he? He doesn't, he's got to have a different mask.
Probably like a cashmere. It probably doesn't block any viruses, but it's just a flex.
Cashmere has been proven to trap COVID and nurture it. Yeah. That's what cashmere does.
100%.
Yeah, and Diddy
like,
has
like
had
llama fur.
Yeah, he's had COVID 9 times.
You know what?
Takes off. Never
Diddy
takes
is so
off.
Rich. Diddy's already had COVID 22. We gotta wait. We out here. Like, yo.
He had it imported.
Exactly.
Diddy gets all the variants imported. And
come on.
Very lucky
That's
to have
what
him.
The you new know, Ciroc lineup is going to be.
You guys ever think about, I know that your origin story is you met at summer school. And I was thinking, you guys need a better origin story.
We think about that all the time.
You've got to invent one and get it out there now so it becomes part of the lore. Because meeting the way you guys met doesn't sound cool enough. You've pulled off such an amazing coup in the business. Now you need to go back and invent the origin story.
We were working on a new one. We're coming, like, we met in a bar, like, a comedy club, open bar, whatever. I liked his jokes, he liked my jokes. And I was like, "Oh, you live in the Bronx, cool, whatever, you want to ride home." We're riding home, he's not paying attention. We hit an old lady with the car and kill her. We drag her body, we put it in the trunk of the car. We have to end up burying her. And we're like, "Yo, we have to take a blood oath that we will never forget about this and never speak about this. And also, let's launch a podcast."
So as you're tamping down the earth in her shallow grave in upstate New York, because you drove all the way up. It's like Goodfellas. You drove all the way to upstate New York. As you're tamping down the earth over her freshly dug grave, you say, "We never speak about this again." You each cut a thumb. You press it together. Right.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
then you say, "And now we start a podcast.
Bodega Boys."
And then
for life.
Even better, I go, "You know what? Hiding this body is brought to you by who? Stamps.com. When you need to order stamps, I want you to go right online. They're available right there 24/7.
But that turns out.
Do you know that they have forever stamps that are like forever? You only have to buy them one time. They never go up in price. The price never fluctuates.
Then you hear, "Forever stamps, tell me more." The lady isn't dead yet. She's pulled herself half out of the dirt. And she's setting you up for the next ad.
That sounds fantastic. Like, but what will I drink while I'm...
Well, Funny you mention that, lady that we're trying to murder. Spindrift makes an amazing seltzer.
That's right. It's very it's popular with old people and people halfway near death, which you are doing right now.
No, you know what's funny? We actually came up with a podcast idea as we were pulling out the teeth, so the body would be unidentifiable.
Here we go. Just so make it nice work. And darker, right?
Oh,
just,
you got to get rid of the teeth. You also have to get rid of the hands and the feet.
Yeah.
That part, story. Cartel.
Oh. No, I've been there. I've done shit. The people that were making fun of my ideas back when I was 22, I killed all of them. Remember all those comedy producers that went missing in 1985 to 88? That was me. I did that.
Yeah. There were flyers everywhere, right under the Dr. Zizmore ad. Wow. Hope they find them.
You know what's I really enjoy so much about both of you is you both have there are comedians that I know and I consider you two the best at this who immediately have great information at their fingertips. And it's not like just one of you does that and the other has a different skill. You both have it. You both come up with amazing information instantly. You always have it. And when I listen to you guys, I'm thinking, shit, it just seems to be endless. Like you are, I'm going to date myself now, but like your Rolodexes of just massive amounts Ooh. Of information from your childhood. You haven't forgotten anything. I'm starting to get to that age where I go, yeah, it's like those ads for, damn it. Mm-hmm. And it's gone. I don't have Dr. Zizmore at my fingertips.
Remember the thing?
That's going to be you guys in 40 years. It's going to be Guessers and Mirror. Still going. They've set the record for longest running late night show. And it's going to be you guys going, yeah, it's like, remember when the Knicks?
Yeah, but see, that is going to be even worse because in our minds, our memories are going to be fresh and relevant. And everyone's going to be like, no, you two old geezers. No one wants to hear this. And we're watching a Knick game. I'll be like, he reminds me of a young Raymond Felton. And everyone's going to be like, who is that?
Who is that?
Hold on. Let me pause this and Google what Grandpa over here said. There's nothing worse than we're watching sports events. You're like, yeah, bro. He reminds me of Nick Swisher, and everyone's like, I'm 20. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let me call my father. Maybe he remembers what you're talking about.
I'm telling you guys, I'm the old man. I'm telling you that this happens. It really does happen because you've been around, when you're around a long time, you start saying things that to you seemed pretty recent, but it was 8 years ago. And in this culture, 8 years ago was 1,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you get, there's a sad quiet that comes from when you, a young crowd, when you make a reference like that and they're like, what?
It's like, I was talking to this girl at a bar once and like, we're just talking about, talking about like the greatest concert you went to, and I was like, oh, this Kanye concert, blah blah blah. She was like, oh yeah, my mother used to play Kanye when I was growing up. And I was like, how are you legally in this bar? How are you here?
Wow. you gotta start doing math.
What exactly. I was like, whoa.
I almost made a Snorks reference the other day. And I was just like, wow. I was like, you know what? Never mind.
People who make Snorks don't even want you to make Snorks.
Wait definitely. A minute. I'll tell you right now, Sona, what's a Snork?
Yeah,
Snork
you know
was
what?
Like
a I know what a Snork.
Okay,
it was
like, sorry, yeah. Matt. Let's hear Matt.
I don't
pipe
even.
In.
I don't.
Matt,
even
you say
know.
You claim to know what a Snork
Matt's
is.
Like,
what is it?
Yo, okay. By the way, I just want this is audio. I don't know if this is audio or video only. Matt threw his arms up like, you don't know what Snorks are?
I know.
He's scoffed at everyone in the room. Yeah, he's living right now.
Snorks are like underwater Smurfs, and they have little snorkels.
Right. But remember. Their little snorkels, didn't they go, they were kind of like tails, so they, if they were happy, they went up or something like that, so there was like, they weren't like erections on them, right? Or am I just remembering something from
I think
adult?
They were kid-friendly emotional erections.
Also, yeah. Weren't they?
This sounds absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
They were kind of a cash grab by the Smurfs. They were like, if you like Smurfs, you want Smurfs underwater?
Yeah, definitely.
Here we go.
Oh, definitely.
How about that?
They're like, it's the 80s. The people who made this are probably coked up. Listen, you're going to buy the toys from Hasbro. Just watch them. Come on.
Yeah.
So it's an underwater Smurf that becomes erect. That's what you're saying it is.
Right. And wasn't it like the Smurfs, there was only one female Snork?
Yes. I think maybe. Maybe, yeah, and it felt like they all had very distinct personalities with no overlap. You know?
Right,
yeah.
And wasn't there like word snorkel, like the way Smurfs would be like Smurfy, Smurf, they'd be like Snork.
Yeah, snork, yeah. And then there was like an evil, mer lady.
Trying to eat them or something.
There always has to be an evil toy.
I gotta Google this. Yeah. I gotta see what they look like.
Yeah, look that up and see what it looks like. What about, you guys are at that level of success, and again, I congratulate you. By the way, I was driving my car a week ago, and I came to a light,
Flex.
And I slowed down. That's right, guys.
Car.
That's right. You too will get a Ford Probe one day.
You did it. You made a reference.
Guys, when you've been in the business as long as I have, you eventually get to have an automobile. But I pull up in my car and I see there's a one of those bus stop ads and it says Desus and Miro and it says Kings of Late Night. And I I put down my window and I looked at it and I thought, they have won. They have won and I have lost.
Were you really that gracious?
No. No. I turned my wheel and I crashed into the ad. You can actually find the footage.
I respect that. I respect that.
Then the police, you know, they stopped me to question me and I got out of the car and I ran. And but they knew it was me, which was a mistake. They were like, you look like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And I said, you'll never catch me or find me as
and
I ran.
Left your car
there. No, I'm not. I'm not Conan O'Brien. I'm not Conan O'Brien for the Dallas Mavericks. Which is a very tall white man running down the street quickly.
With no vertical leap. Yeah. Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah, I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go, anytime, anywhere, endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy minigames. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money, or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play. If you're being honest, no one really knows what you do for work, especially if you're in B2B. That's a business doing business with other businesses.
Oh, I didn't know you knew what that was.
I know exactly what that is. B2B, I use that all the time. Businesses doing businesses with other businesses.
Never
fortunately,
heard you say that.
LinkedIn has a network of professionals who get what you do, and you can reach the right people who matter most to your company. LinkedIn has over 1 billion members on its platform, including 70 million decision makers.
That's good.
Since LinkedIn members are regularly updating their work history, you can precisely build a target audience by job title, industry, company, and more. Start reaching the right people for your, get ready, B2B business with LinkedIn ads. Gets even better because LinkedIn will give you a $100 credit on your next campaign.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just go to linkedin.com/teamcoco to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/teamcoco. Terms and conditions apply. I get to say this again. Listen, LinkedIn, the place to be, right?
That's cool.
Business to business.
That's really cool.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
I'm very happy for you guys. I'm curious about the merch situation because this is something that comes up. You guys are going to have what I think is this surreal experience, and I'm sure you've had it already now, where they show you T-shirts, they show you stuff, and they go, here's this merch. What do you think? First of all, what's the stuff that you're really loving that you're coming out with?
Oh, we have, if we drop our actual kind of private merch line, like that goes directly for the Bodega Hive and goes directly with the podcast, that stuff sells out in a couple of minutes.
That's fantastic. Ridiculous.
People resell it on the secondary market for twice its value. There's shirts we don't even have that people have. And then forget it. If you wear like the Deez and Meryl friends and family shirt that the production wear, they're just like, bro, I'm in the bar. Chicks are hitting on me left and right. I can't get it. Like, they love the show. And then the women that work on our show are like, they can't wear it in public because guys are like, so you work on oh, wow, you know Deez and Meryl. That's so cool. Can I, like, marry you?
Well, see,
so
this is what kind of thing. This is what I want. So suddenly I'm the guy that flexed because I have a car.
There you go.
You're telling me that people can get laid just wearing your stuff. That doesn't happen when you're wearing a Conan t-shirt.
Well, you know, listen, I have to wear the t-shirt because I'm driving an 05. Honda Accord.
Okay. It balances out.
So my question is, because I've had this experience where someone will come to me with something and go, what do you think of this? And it's absolutely terrible. It's absolutely hideous. Have they come to you with anything where clearly they're not thinking clearly and they've put your names and faces on like a toilet seat or a urinal cake, something that just is abhorrent to you?
Every now and then we get pitched something that it usually comes directly to our email and not through our agent, which usually lets us know this is a terrible idea. And they're like, hey, do you and Meryl want to be the face of baked beans? And you're like, what?
The answer is yes.
Yeah, they're like, listen, for too long, Boston's had a death grip on baked beans. We're going to do Bronx baked beans. And you're like, what? They're like, hey, listen, so like, we're going to give you, $200 each. We're going to use your names and your voices in perpetuity for 10 years and you get free beans. And you're like, this doesn't sound like a good idea. But then if I read that email at 4 a.m. when I'm hungry, I'm like, I could go for some free beans. That could change the whole game. So
I'll tell you a real story. I was with my mom and we were in Westerly, Rhode Island once, and we walked into, and this is, you know, I'd been doing the late night show a number of years. Things are going well. And I went into this Italian restaurant with my mom and we're getting dinner and the waitress comes up and she says, you know what? I recognize you. And I called the manager and he has a proposition for you. And I said, oh, yeah, what's that? And this was like a strip mall Italian restaurant. And she said, you come back here next weekend and you spend Saturday and Sunday here and you say hi to all the guests and take photos with them and we'll promote it. And your meal is free.
Oh, my God.
Yo, come on.
I remember, like, I'm going to get back to you.
Let me circle back on that.
48 hours of work for a plate of breadsticks? Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm going to try and get you guys the same deal. That's what I'm going to try and do.
Listen,
I'm going to see if I can get you at least as good a deal as that.
The merch is dope, but it's like, also, I'm like, I want to meet the person who has a Deez and Meryl duvet. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to meet you. Like, you're super down with the brand. If your whole bedspread is like Deez and Meryl.
Also, I feel like those people who need to go on a list because they might kill us.
There's
certain pieces of merch aren't really for people to buy, and so you can add them to a list of people to watch in the future. Because if they buy stuff that's just a little too, like, if it's a t-shirt and it just like has like the skin of our face on it or some weird thing and only one person buys it, you're like, okay. All right. You're not coming to any live shows. I don't like the cut of your jib.
I think if they're buying a duvet, they're not going to kill you. It's going to be more like misery. They're going to cripple you and lay you both out on the bed and they're going to lie between you. And you're going to just be lying there with them.
Yeah.
And they're going to make you guys, they're going to throw out topics and make you riff on them for like 48 hours at a time. That's what's going
to
happen.
But see, then they'd have to allow us access to Twitter, otherwise we'd run out of things to talk about. And like, we'd just be doing the same jokes over. What if they kidnapped us in the beginning of the pandemic? We'd still be doing Tiger King jokes. You think they want that?
That'd be terrible. Oh my God. I never want to hear the words Joe or Exotic ever again in my life.
I know. That's,
and I used to love the word exotic.
And they ruined it for you.
Weed, dancers.
Yeah, they ruined tigers for me, I imagine.
You guys are very frank in this book about all kinds of things. You talk about you don't have mad respect for alcohol, right? Is that fair to say? When you're getting
I say that. Oh. As far as like drugs are concerned.
You feel like alcohol is just a waste of time.
Yeah, it's like a fake drug. It's like, it's like I'm a drug, but it's like, I don't know. It's like how sparklers are considered fireworks. You know what I'm saying?
Got it. They shouldn't be in the same category.
Yeah. Like, you're a drug, but I could go to a bar and get you. You know what I mean? Like, I got to really go hard and, like, you know, get behind the wheel of a car to, like, endanger myself or, like, drink so much that I got to get my stomach pumped. And that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. That's very
I'm saying you're very and you speak very passionately about weed, what the kids now call marijuana. Or wacky cigarettes. Jazz cigarettes.
That's how you know you're going to get arrested. If somebody comes up to you looking for pot, you're going to jail.
I remember my uncle once said to me, there was some musician, he came to see me at Saturday Night Live, and there was some musician, the band was playing at Saturday Night Live, and I was a writer there, and he pointed to the guitar player, and he said, "Tell me that guy with the guitar doesn't have a jazz cigarette jammed down his bootleg."
All right, constable.
Jazz cigarette jammed down his bootleg.
You got it, Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Did I tell you he was wearing a trench coat at the time and solving crimes? And he was in black and white, and the rest of us were in color.
Just did it. End prohibition. Like, yeah. All right.
Yeah. I've tried over the years a couple of times to smoke pot, and it has never worked for me. I don't know what's going on. Am I just too uptight, Sona?
I think so, right? Don't you guys think, like, if you're already too uptight, that it'll make you even more paranoid? And
you know what? You have to have a real good reason to smoke pot. You can't just smoke pot just because, hey, people are smoking pot, it's cool. You have to be going through some sort of dire stress or something that's really tearing you apart for you to, at an older age, for you to appreciate pot. Because if you did it in high school or whatever, it's like, oh, cool kids, euphoria, Now, you gotta be like, yo, I might lose my house, I might lose this court case.
Right.
They saw this videotape of us hitting the old lady with the car. What are we going to do? That was kind of situations. Then you smoke on the pot, and it's not going to work on the first time you hit it. You have to smoke a couple of times, and then, and it's not going to be like life-changing. It's just going to be like, yo, it's going to take you down a notch. And then the more you smoke, then you can become terrible. You can grow dreads. You could transfer to NYU. You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to do all those things. I'm glad that you suggested that. I am going to start smoking. I'm going to smoke jazz cigarettes consistently, and then I'm going to grow dreads.
Okay.
Yes.
You got to smoke the right ones, though. You got to smoke the right jazz cigarettes. If you smoke the wrong jazz cigarettes, then you're going to fly into a panic and think that the FBI is looking for you, and you're going to end up smashing yourself through your glass coffee table for no reason at all.
Now, Sona, I'll out her now, but everyone knows, she's pregnant with twins.
Yeah.
And she's expecting day now. So she's been good now for 9 months. But you enjoyed the edibles.
I'm a big edibles fan. I mean, I don't know what the situation is in New York, but in L.A., you just go and buy whatever you want. And it's, you know, nice low dosage edibles. It's the best.
Well, also in L.A., you get them like the way you used to get a mint at a diner.
Yeah.
They just give them to you at the end of the meal.
We were just in L.A. and someone gave us a whole bunch of edibles. And the thing is, like, we're such hardcore smokers. The edibles they gave us were too weak. So I went to the dispensary and I was like, listen, bro, I'm from New York. We don't got edibles. I'm here to fill up my suitcase and I don't care if TSA catches me. And I was like, let's go with some edibles. And it was like, okay, well, these are like 5 milligrams. And I was like, bro, I'm from the Bronx. I have our Timberlands in LA. I'm suffering through June gloom. I need the hard stuff. And the hardest they could give me was like 50 milligrams. And I was like, can I just like put them all in my mouth at the same time? They was like, yeah, just don't say you got it from us. So I get the fun with the edibles.
Yeah.
With edibles.
I started like, it's funny because like in our previous program, we were out in L.A., like did the whole Venice Beach, you know, graffiti, weightlifting, basketball thing. I was like, I made a promise to myself that like, I've been smoking weed since I was like 13. So this is, and I'm 30, I just turned 38, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's been, I don't know, math, but that's a long time smoking weed. So I was just like.
You just told us all we need to know about smoking weed. You just did a very good public service announcement.
There you go.
Right now, someone's taking that blunt and they're like, you know what?
Let me put this out for a second. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe I keep smoking it and they're like this guy. But no, I was like, I made a promise to myself. I was like, listen, you're going to get the highest you've ever been in your life because it's legal here and you don't just have to smoke it in its staircase and run if you hear footsteps. So you can, and they had all kind of cute shit too, like weed lemonade, weed brownies, weed gummies. Best. You know what I mean? Like, so I was just like stocking up. And I literally was drinking like 1,000 milligram weed lemonade and like like shooting 3-pointers. You know what I mean? I went 0-1 for 16 from beyond the arc. But, you know, I was still out
and
here.
It was great. Like,
I'm glad you kept track at least. You were able to keep track.
And we're just trying to talk to him as we're recording. And he's just doing grunts. He sounded like Tim the Tool Man Taylor from Home Improvement. I'm like, are you all right? He's like, huh? I'm like,
like, all right, he's still breathing. All right, let's work.
Fully functional, just chilling. Terrifying helicopter ride I got to sleep on.
Yeah, we almost died in a helicopter ride.
Oh, I read about that. That's in the book. I read about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were in a helicopter. It felt like this is not going to end well. It got perilous. And Miro, you were just so out of it, you didn't care. Is that right?
No, I was just like, you know what? This is a good time to take a nap. Because you don't want to die awake. You know, you'd rather die. You know, people are like, I'd rather die in my sleep.
Never. Yeah, I guess you that's good. When I'm ever in a near-death experience, I'm going to try and fall asleep as quickly
take a
as
nap.
Possible.
Yeah, just take a
well,
nap.
Well, what I learned from it is if you're in a helicopter and it's about to crash and someone's sleeping, you wake them up. We're all going to be awake when we hit the ground. None of this dying peacefully in your sleep. Sorry, my guy. Okay?
When I've listened to you and I've watched the show, it feels like one of the things that I never did this successfully. I never had beef with anybody.
I know.
And I always felt like that's kind of something that some people are very good at. And then I remembered once, it wasn't that long ago, but you guys had beef, but it didn't feel like it was worthy of you because it was with Jaleel White. You know? And I felt like the things that are flawed, and I swear to God, you guys don't need my help. You need nothing from me, but I'm just going to offer constructive criticism. A, better origin story. I like the new one you've come up with. You didn't meet in summer school. You met when you both killed an old woman accidentally and you buried her upstate. B, I love the beef thing. You've got to have, but it can't be Jaleel White. You've got to step it up a notch. It's got to be bigger than that.
Technically, we have beef with Obama. He came in hot talking spicy about our Knicks, and you know, like, there's only but so much beef you can have with a former president. He can get a new drone strike. He can have the Secret Service shoot you. So, you know, it's not, we're still trying to work it out, but I think
Obama's
other people.
A good guy, that's a good guy to have beef with. I've noticed he likes to talk smack, that guy. He likes to.
He does. Back and forth.
I was years ago when I did White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm there and he's in a line greeting people before the dinner and he's greeting people. And my brother had come down, my brother and his wife, Justin and Joanna, and they go up and they're taking a picture with the president and the first lady. And all of a sudden I hear Obama, I'm standing in the corner, not taking a picture because I'm worried about my set. And I hear, Conan. And I look over and it's President Obama. And he says, your brother, much better looking than you.
See?
And I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
Wow.
I'm just in the corner minding my own business.
Shots fired.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I thought he had to seek me out in the room to shit on me. And he's that guy. He is that guy. He knows he's
what movie is that? With the sniper, it's like Jude Law plays a sniper behind enemy lines.
Oh yeah. Enemy at the gates.
Enemy at the gates. He just enemy at the gates, dude, bruh.
Yeah, yeah.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I would have went with an American Sniper reference there, but you know, enemy at the gates.
I'm with you.
There, yeah. Shout out to Matt. Matt's got all the deep cuts with snorks behind the gates. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Matt's your guy. Matt remembers everything.
Obama's like the roommate that slowly kills you using eye drops when you're not watching. Like, you have to, like, you don't see what he's doing, but he gets you.
Yes. He tricks you because he's got this, I don't know, I noticed it because we talked to him a couple of weeks ago and he's got this very chill walk and he says he fools you with this, I'm a guy from Hawaii, I don't get that worked up about stuff, I'm no drama Obama, I'm just, and so you're not expecting it. And also, he's a man that has had to contemplate real problems and had the nuclear code. So you think there's no way he's going to take the time, make me look like a fool. And then he does.
Yep.
Oh, he does. He's got time.
Now
have you seen his book? It's 80,000 pages. He's got plenty of time.
It is huge.
Yes. It,
and the best part of Obama is he comes off, like you say, he comes off so cool. And you're like, oh, he's former president. He's so cool. He would probably have that same level of coolness if he was just like your aunt's unemployed husband that, you know, sometimes stole some stuff. You'd be like, I hate Barry, but you know what? He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Barry's kind of a wild guy, but he's, you know, he's the number one real estate agent. You know what I mean?
He's a stand-up guy.
Or it annoys me that Barry doesn't get a job and he sleeps on the couch and he doesn't contribute to the rent. But he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy.
He's chill. He comes through with weed sometimes.
Or he's just like, hey, he's like, Conan, you hungry? They were having 2-for-1 Whoppers at Burger King. You're like, oh.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. That was so nice of you.
There's a Listerine strip on the one that he gives to you.
What's that?
He puts a Listerine strip in the one that he gives to you. Like, ha ha, gotcha, motherfucker. You thought shit was straight.
Is that a prank from back in the day, putting a Listerine strip on someone's hamburger?
That sounds like a Depression era prank.
Right? I know. That doesn't sound. As I realized later on, sometimes pranks, people will tell you about a prank they pulled and it just is random violence, you know?
Yeah.
They'd be like, I pulled a funny prank. What'd you do? I dropped a knife out a window. It fell on a guy's shoulder. And you're like, that's not a prank. What happened? Well, oh, he got really fucked up.
Remember at one time in American history, a prank was, let's see how many people could fit in a phone booth.
Yes.
Like, what's the fun in that? Just me and my boys just all rubbing together in a tight booth, like, you know.
Well, it used to be, cool. Another one was flagpole sitting, like in the
1950s. Yeah.
Like, I think cramming into a phone booth is 1950s. 1920s was sitting on a flagpole weeks at a time. And you think, what? You know, something was, again, another more proof that America is a very sick place.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a sick country. One of our great grandfathers just like, you know what? I really need to invent cable. We can't keep watching this shit. This is terrible.
Give me TV.
This is absolutely terrible.
Well, how are you guys liking being in the world of late night television? Because in a way, it's not that big an advance from what you've been doing for a long time. So when I started in late night, I hadn't been doing anything like that. I'd been thinking a lot about comedy, but not doing anything remotely like that. And this feels like a natural extension of what you've already been doing.
Seems like a logical order of operations. You know what I'm saying? You go from a podcast that's audio only, and then, you know, you turn the cameras on. Why not? You know what I mean? So you can see the reactions and everything else. I feel like we've been doing it together for so long that audience, no audience, like, it kind of doesn't matter. Just roll the cameras. I feel like once we got to the previous network, like, they figured that out real quick. And they were like, yo, just keep the cameras rolling. As long as these guys are talking, just roll, because we're going to get something. We might have to edit until 2 a.m., but we're going to get some half an hour of pure uncut.
Also, you know, it's great. It helps that we're not ugly. Because if we were ugly, we'd probably not have a late night show.
That's very important. Like,
people in Hollywood, they're not honest enough about that. You have some very talented comedians out there, except they're ug mugs, and no one wants to see them. And thankfully, you know, as three attractive people, myself, Meryl, and Conan, we are blessed enough.
Thank you for including me in that. I think it's touch and go with me, especially as I age. I'm like an old tree that has rot. But I think that you're right. It is a natural extension. I just occurred to me as you were describing your guys' arc that I'm going the other way. I'm leaving late night television and I have a podcast now. So I'm doing your guys' career in reverse. And so,
Conjurman Button.
I am the Benjamin Button version of Desus and Miro. That's what I am.
All right. I would have went with Tenet. You know, a more recent movie about reverse aging. But again, do we want to make this podcast old as shit? So, you know.
Hey, I'm with you, Mara. I'm with you.
Let's go!
Well, Matt, it's your job to jump in and say those things before I can disgrace myself. You know, you are the elder care nurse of this podcast. It's your job to get to me before I shit the bed and say...
It is time for you to take your medicine.
Before I say Benjamin Button, you know, it's your job to jump in quickly and say the cooler reference.
Well, you know what? You're in a good position where you're already established and now you can do a podcast, which is even a bigger flex. You don't have to go through that thing where it's just like, oh, I only have... I did a podcast, I got 20 listens, which is just like humiliating. And also, like, we interviewed Eddie Murphy and we said to him, we was like, do you ever want to do a podcast? And he literally looks at us and goes, what the hell is a podcast?
What is that?
Right.
So,
Eddie does famously live in a bubble. He just doesn't know about anything. After Beverly Hills Cop 2, he stopped knowing anything about, he doesn't know about the internet. He doesn't know who the presidents have been. I mean, he's literally lived in a different world. You know,
I want to get to that level. I was at a show once and it was Jerry Seinfeld on stage and he was like, what is Uber? Can someone explain Uber to me? And I was like,
someone tell me, what is this Uber? Yeah, exactly.
I was like, wow, he does
not. So you call a stranger to pick you up. and then they pick up another stranger?
I was like, wow.
What's the deal with that?
I want to get to that level of disconnect. I want them to be like, how much does it cost to get on the subway? And I'm like, $27. I don't know.
Tell me more about this subway.
Do they take Bitcoin?
What are snorks?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Well, guys, it does bring up a good point, which is it's it's going so well for you, but then do you think about what the next step is after this? I may be getting ahead. It's going so well, but do you think about, all right, what's the next stage? Is there a movie in here somewhere? Is there an animated series?
Truthfully, like Cirque du Soleil, Las Vegas vibe, you know what I mean? Like Jesus and I in like tie-dye tights, you know what I mean? Just spinning around with each other.
I'm actually thinking about the combination of those incredible dancers with those incredible bodies wearing those outfits spinning in Vegas while you listen to, and it's all syncopated to the audio track of you guys doing the opening for your show, where you guys are talking, but it's syncopated so that their movements exactly are in line with what you're saying. That's a great show. That's a great show. Genius. That's a show I would go and see.
Yes. And then for the grand ending, we steal from Gallagher. And we just do like, we smash the watermelon, yeah. but we smash the chopped cheese. So it's just greasy and everyone's like, very upset. It's super gross. This is like nasty.
The Variety of review is a true smash until the ending. Disappointed ending. That like, they chose.
They're like, if you're lactose intolerant, please stay away from the front three rows. We're like, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that whole Gallagher run is going to get cut out because it was too current.
For my show, yes.
You can never go wrong with watermelon-based comedy. That's the one thing I've learned in Hollywood.
You've completely confused my audience, which stopped watching everything after Benjamin Button. and stopped watching
Gallagher's
comedy.
Gallagher's timeless.
Yeah, after Gallagher, they stopped watching fruit-based comedy. So they don't know what's happening. Well, listen, gentlemen, it has been an honor to talk to you, and I really am genuinely happy. And I talked to so many people just in the last 24 hours because people are always asking me, who are you talking to today? And I mentioned your name and just pure delight. People are so you've got so many fans out there, as you know.
We would not be here if it wasn't for you. We were watching your show religiously. We stole so many jokes from you. We just had to change like little things like red hair or Boston. It's worked out so well. And we just want to thank you for all that.
Hey, yo, this is like true story. Like I did not have cable forever. And I was watching you at like 3 a.m. on a 13-inch Sony Trinitron in my bedroom, like the year 2000.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, shout out to Pimpbot 5000. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
That's sweet. No, you know, I have to say, you will experience this too, but the greatest thrill, there's so many nice things that come along with getting into this ridiculous business, but I think the all-time top thing is when you're talking to people that you admire who are doing comedy and performance that you really admire, and then you find out they checked you out as a kid, nothing beats that. Nothing beats that. Just thrilled to hear that you didn't have cable and that I was your only choice.
That's right.
Wow. You did the right thing. Anyway, guys, thrilled to know you and continued success and onward and upward. And I'll work on my game. I'm going to pick it up. Go. I'm going to start. I'm going to get the references. I'm going to get my references well into 2002.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So watch out.
Just want to shout out. A lot of y'all don't realize Conan apparently is a blood. He has on a blood bandana around his neck.
I am a blood.
Just want to give a shout out. Listen, to our homie Bonin O'Brien, you know what I'm saying?
I put this up if I'd have a COVID test and the nurse want you to wear a mask, so yeah. I have this thing. But I realized recently
like you're gonna rob a general store?
Yeah, I look like I'm robbing a general store. I also look a little bit like sort of a cowboy gigolo. You
know?
I'm pulling tricks out there.
And he did pick his allegiance. He's a blood. Man.
Yeah. I'm sort of a blood, but I'm also I'm out there and I'm selling my body if I can.
So. You are the only person that has ranked voting for what gang you're gonna join. You're like, books don't work out. I'll go to the Crips, check it out.
I'll check it out. Listen, it's like visiting a college. You know, you gotta walk around the campus a little bit.
Check out some vote fans.
I'm gonna spend some time with you bloods to see if this works out for me. Or then I might try the Crips for a little bit. And he's down. Guys, seriously, I can't thank you enough. Continued success. And
Thank you so much, man.
You know, Scotty's cares about the environment and has strong values they stand behind. Plus,
Scotty's facial tissues are super soft, strong and absorbent, and easy on the wallet. Whether you've got allergies or just a case of the sniffles, stock up on Scotty's facial tissues so you can stop wiping your nose on your sleeve. Isn't that disgusting when people do that, Sona?
I just don't like that.
No, I don't like it either. I like to wipe my nose on your sleeve, but not my sleeve. Yeah.
Well, my sleeve is made of Scotty's tissues, so that's a
I wonder. That's a very cool fashion statement. Hey, and stop offering guests toilet paper to blow their nose into. That's disgusting. Hand them a Scotty's facial tissue instead. You can find Scotty's facial tissues that come in beautiful box designs. Put one in every room. Why not? Make your guest feel like a king or queen. Hmm. If someone offers me a tissue, sometimes people say to me, Conan, would you like a tissue? I say, is it Scotty's? And if it's not, I just swat it away.
Oh, okay.
Scotty's is better at what counts. For more information, visit scottysfacial.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have a social battery, and you can feel drained sometimes, you know? What I'm saying is, you know me, and sometimes I'm bursting with energy, and sometimes I get a little down. Well, you got to pay attention to your social battery and spread yourself a little more evenly, okay? Don't get spread too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. So all you do, and it makes it easy, fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. And that's important. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Conan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. That's right. I'm going to spell help. HELP.com/Conan.
Okay, guys, quite a while ago, we used to do a recurring segment called Big Dick History, and it's time to bring it back out of the vault.
Yes, I forget how we started talking about this, because I am a real history buff. I love reading about history, and then it somehow got perverted by you freaks into this segment called Big Dick History, which is something I never signed on for, but I feel like I've completely lost control of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so if the fans wish it, I will do as I'm asked.
Okay, well, it's going to come down to this. Another quiz for you two. And this is called Big Dick History, The Ideal Wang. Okay?
This is just awful.
I am so excited.
This is not the kind of podcast I wanted to do. It's not the kind of humor I like to delve into. But when Captain Gorley is at the helm, this is what I must submit to. All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I want to just add, I think it's important to note that I did win the first one because cheated on a question about a male porn star. So I am the reigning champion of the Big Dick History quizzes.
I don't recall because I care about the world we live in and real issues.
Okay, in this corner is the champion, Sona Movsesian, and in this corner, the contender, Conan O'Brien.
Contender.
All right? This is big. So this is the ideal Wang throughout history. What I'm going to do is name an era of ancient history and give you three options into what was the most popular type of Todger. Okay, this comes from bustle.com.
What? Todger? Is that a real name for a...
Sure, look, I'm running out of synonyms for Willie, okay?
I call it the old William Carlos Williams.
Okay, so what type of William Carlos Williams was the most popular kind of John Thomas from that era? Does that make sense?
Are we talking like how it's... How big it is, how it angles itself.
No, just the name for it.
No. Sorry. It is that. It is a description. It will be three different physical descriptions. And remember, because this is an audio podcast, to answer, you have to yell out your name.
Okay. You have to remember that because you never remember that. You just start
talking. That's your buzzer.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I often yell out my own name during sex.
What?
It's an old bit.
Go ahead.
Good, you're keeping
this podcast. It's the narcissist who yells out his own name during sex.
Okay.
Come on, it's
fine. Okay, so remember, I'm going to read three. You can buzz in with your name at any time, but once you do that...
So you're going to give us descriptions...
Oh, God. Wait, of an, this is like watching paint dry, listening to you. Excuse me. Let me just make sure I understand the rules. You're such a Tracy Flick right now. Just let it go.
We have to guess the era.
No, I will tell you the
era. No, he'll tell us the era.
Okay.
We have to, what's the best, what's the most positive description?
Okay.
Yeah, it's what people, what was the most like in vogue type?
I didn't know it
changed. This is just, okay. I mean, I love any game show where describing how to play it takes 45 minutes is a failed game show. You know, on Wheel of Fortune, they're not, Pat Sajak isn't out there for, you know, 40 minutes saying, so I'll spin the wheel. And when it ends on that, then that's what you do, you see, and then you'll see the letters. I have a question, Pat. That's my Pat Sajak impression. All right, here we go.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Ancient Egypt. And here are the three types. Name which one was the most type of popular penis. Curvy and girthy. Clean and circumcised. Tall and thin.
Conan.
This middle one.
I'll read them again. Curvy and girthy. Clean and circumcised. Tall and thin.
Conan.
Yes.
The first one.
What the...
Jesus
what the,
Christ.
What?
The which one curvy and girthy.
Curvy and girthy is incorrect. Sona, you get to have a guess.
You
now.
Know what?
Your two remaining choices.
I'm going to guess clean and circumcised because that's
correct.
That's the one he originally guessed. And to know that I can get the answer right by guessing what you originally guessed makes me feel that's like I've already victory. Won.
They were circumcising in ancient Egypt?
They sure were. Yeah.
What did they use? The tip of a pyramid? How did they do that? They'd have to haul a baby up to the top of a pyramid, put its John Dewey down there, and then hit it with a rock?
This is known from a surviving manuscript called the Turin Erotic Papyrus.
Yeah, basically more proof that pornography has always been with us.
Okay, number two, ancient Greece and Rome. And your options are stubby and soft, long and lean, or small and uncut?
Conan. Long and lean.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Sona.
I'm going to say stubby just because when I think of Greek men, I think of lots of hair. So the first one.
What's stubby got to do with hair?
Wait, stubby. I thought
you... Oh, you mean stubbly? Like they shaved like it like a beard?
Yeah, I thought you meant hairy. Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Neither of you are correct.
Oh, no.
It's small and uncut. If you think of your great, you know, Grecian art, you see that reflected quite a bit.
You think those are small? I always walk out of museums going, Jesus! That baby statue was hung. Oh, my God. That angel was packing serious heat. My wife is always crying to walk out of the museum. Please be quiet.
Okay, it is 1 point Sona, 0 points Conan. We are on to number 3 out of 5.
I'm kind of proud that I'm losing,
zero
I have to tell
points.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're not. You hate this so much that you hate losing.
Ancient India.
My Here specialty.
Just the tip, all are welcome, and tapered like a wizard's wand.
Sona.
Yeah.
Tapered like a wizard's wand.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Conan, your remaining options are just the tip and all are welcome.
Well, I'm going to go with number 2, all are welcome.
Correct. We are tied up here on the ideal Wang quiz. Wow. Let me tell you something about this. Comes from the Kama Sutra, and that male sizes of genitals were named for small, medium, and large, and they were the hare, the bull, and the horse. The female genital sizes were named deer, mare, and elephant, which is weird because mare is the medium and male is the horse. That's the large. They don't line up, but that's what it is. Yeah.
I just heard our shot at a Peabody disappear.
Well, we're going to get a peepee body.
Shot?
Weeks ago, talking to President Obama, doing my best. I've talked to historians. I've really tried to elevate us. And then you come along riding your... flying Wang into the picture, and you lower the conversational tone. So anyway, happy.
Thank you. Okay, number 4, Edo period Japan. Number 1, huge, uncircumcised and veiny. Number two, delicate, dainty, and shrouded in silk. Or three, sharp like a samurai sword.
Conan.
Sona, I believe.
The second one, the one shrouded in silk.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Shoot.
Conan, your options are huge, uncircumcised, and veiny, or sharp like a samurai sword.
It would be number three, sharp like a samurai sword.
That is incorrect.
See, that's too obvious.
It's huge, uncircumcised, and veiny. And this is our last question, so this is for all the marbles, as it were. All the testicles, okay?
No, you're just... This is a side of you that's you shouldn't be proud of. This is not...
I'm not proud.
This is just the lowest...
Okay, ready? Henry VIII's England. Off with its head, which means circumcised. Prim and proper, or all about the bulge.
Sona. Conan.
Sona has
no,
the first
we
guess.
Both said it at the same time, and you can listen on audio.
I am listening on audio.
You know what? I'll let you have it.
Go. That's actually a smart choice.
Yeah.
You're doing the Monty Hall paradox.
Prim and proper, number two.
That's incorrect, Sona. Ah! You can take it
That's
all
here. That's
what I was
going to guess, too. Wait, can you tell me the other two?
Off with its head, meaning circumcised, or all about the bulge.
All about the bulge.
That's right. Sona keeps her championship streak.
Oh my God. Nothing makes me happier in life than beating you at things. I can't even tell you how good this feels. And everything that I've ever done in my life pales in comparison to when I beat you at something. It just feels so fantastic.
Nope. You know your way around a penis. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Conan O'Brien needs a friend. With Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering by Will Beckton. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary tastes with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.